Hey, what's going on? It's Dr. Mike T. Nelson here from Not Just Another Fitness Podcast for Fitness Geeks Only. And this week we are talking about the controversial topic of fasted cardio. And you could probably piece together from the show yesterday that I will come out and say that my bias is that I am a fan of doing fasted cardio, which I know appears to go against what the popular, I would say, viewpoint is now, even by some pretty hardcore, we'll say, science people. And today I'm going to explain another reason why I think doing fasted cardio is of benefit. And yesterday we had talked about if you open most physiology textbooks, they would say that at a lower to moderate intensity exercise, pretty much everyone is using a high to a maximal amount of fat. And I would agree if we look at the averages from most studies. However, I don't like looking at just averages. I think they do give us some information, which is great. But when you're working with clients, especially one-on-one, the average at best is giving you a very rough approximation of where to start. The next question, in addition to the average, is what is the variability of that? And a great way to do this, if you don't want to go tripping down hard on the statistics, is just get a what's called a basic scatter plot. So just a plot of the data basically tossed onto a page. And you can just look at it with your own eyeballs and see, oh, are they like really clustered together? Are they spread apart? What pattern do I see? Do I see everyone around the middle? Are there any outliers? Some people kind of way off in the corners or way down below. I remember seeing some of this data looking at hypertrophy responses in a study that Dr. Stu Phillips did many years ago at ACSM when he was presenting. And most of the data was kind of clustered around the middle. And then there were these two data points way up at the top, like well above the other groups. And this is looking at hypertrophy, so muscle mass response to an identical training program. And he kind of nicknamed those two guys the Beef Brothers because they grew up on a farm and ate tons of red meat and were genetically similar. So they did some follow-up studies to see if there's anything different about them and why they may be kind of an extreme responders to it. And then when you looked at the data, there was one poor bastard down at the bottom who technically got worse during the study. Now, again, maybe the volume was too high for that individual, had poor sleep, lifestyle stress, who knows. But it was fascinating to look at it and see that three of the people out of the study had very different responses. And if we only had the average, we wouldn't realize or notice what's going on with those people. Now, again, you can argue that maybe they're just an outlier in statistics and yeah, whatever. But I still think it's interesting because these outliers, from especially a mechanistic standpoint, give us some very interesting data, right? So if you look at race cars, so a lot of the car industry will spend money on race cars because that is the ultra high end in terms of extreme performance. And from there, a lot of the technology that's been used will sort of trickle down into the average automotive vehicle in a few years. So it's worth to kind of figure out where are the endpoints of the envelope and what's going on with that. So if we go back to our assertion that most people are going to use fat as a fuel during low to moderate intensity exercise, we find that the variability on that statement is really quite large. So if I'm going to read you a little technical quote here. So one of the studies was done by a researcher named Godecki. They did show very large intra-individual variability in resting RER from 0.72 to 0.93. This even persisted during exercise of increasing intensity. So in English, what that statement means is that RER, so this is a way to measure how much fat versus carbohydrates you are using. If you're at 0.70, you're using almost 100% fat as your main fuel. If your RER is up near 1, you're using almost 100% carbohydrates as your fuel. So 0.72 to 0.93, that's pretty variable. That's a pretty wide range during this low to moderate intensity exercise. We would expect most of it to be around that 0.72, 0.75 even range, much more on the fat use of the spectrum. Go on to say that this corresponded to a relative rate of fat oxidation that ranged from 23 to 93%. This large individual variability in RER from 0.83 to 0.95 was also demonstrated by Helge during low-intensity steady-state exercise. This is quite similar to what we observed with a range of RER from 0.82 to 0.97. And if anyone cares where that statement was from, yes, that was from my own study that I did publish, because no one else is really going to read my own research and put it out there, so I did anyway. You can look that up. That's called Repeatability of Respiratory Exchange Ratio Time Series Analysis. It was published in the journal Strength and Conditioning Research in March 2015. In English, what all this means is that people's ability to use fat at a low to moderate intense exercise is highly variable. Now, again, this was just populations of recreationally trained athletes. These were not all highly trained athletes. However, they were generally considered healthy. This is not a disease population. This is not type 2 diabetics. So even in what we consider a healthy population of people who are active and relatively young, this is not 80-year-olds in the studies, we do see that the ability to use fat as a fuel is very variable. I should probably think of a better way than saying very variable. So some people are really good at using fat, other people not so good at using fat. So that brings up the next question of, well, how would you determine this if you don't have lab grade equipment? You can go out and spend thousands of dollars on a metabolic cart, which I did. It's pretty expensive. I can't say I would recommend everyone to do that. It is fascinating though, you get some very cool data. Another way that I've used as a rough proxy is longer periods of fasting. Remember, when you're fasting, you're not consuming any calories, therefore insulin is lower, pushing your body to use more fat as a fuel. And as a rough field marker with no equipment, nothing else, I believe that the longer you can fast, that's probably a pretty good proxy for your body's ability to use fat as a fuel. So most people, I like to see them work up to 19 to 24 hour fast. Now, again, you may need a little bit of time to go up to that. The other hallmarker I use is if you have to eat every 2 to 3 hours, and if you don't, you get really cranky all the time, I would argue your body's ability to switch fuels to use fat as the main energy source, probably not so good, right? So maybe you should work on upregulating your body's ability to use fat as a fuel. Now, again, this is all during rest or low level intensity exercise. This is not during max exercise. During max exercise, we want the ability to keep using carbohydrates, the other fuel, a la metabolic flexibility. So today we talked about that some people are not really good at using fat, even at rest and low exercise intensities. Other people are, but that spectrum is much more variable than what I think most people realize, even in a healthy population who is considered recreationally active, right? Again, this is not a diseased or pathological population. So if you or one of your clients is someone who has a very hard time fasting for longer periods of time, I would argue that they may need some work on using fat as a fuel. Therefore, I would argue fasted cardio could be very beneficial for them, especially from a metabolic health standpoint and being able to sustain longer periods of time without having to constantly shove carbohydrates and things into their pie hole. Therefore, if you are reducing calories in that population, it should make their compliance and their adherence to your program easier, right? If their body is really tuned to running carbohydrates all the time and you start decreasing them, it's going to be much, much harder. So that's today's podcast, talking about the argument for fasted cardio as a useful tool. Tomorrow, we're going to talk a little bit about what are the long-term studies looking at fasted cardio, right? This was an acute study, as we had mentioned, showing that people are very variable on how well they can use fat. What do some of the longer-term studies show with regards to body composition? So tune in for that. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this, you want more information, go to flexdiet.com, F-L-E-X-D-I-E-T. I have 8 interventions there, all broken down for you, an easy-to-use system. You can teach your clients all about nutrition and recovery and also learn about it, especially related to metabolic flexibility, the concepts of flexible dieting. So go to flexdiet.com, F-L-E-X-D-I-E-T. There'll be a way there you can get onto the newsletter and get all the information plus a lot more. Thank you so much. Talk to you soon.
Well, they say all good things come to an end.
What's that got to do with this show?